Well, good morning. It is now officially spring. We've made it, and we're 1 week away from Good Friday. Look, less than that for Good Friday and Easter, and we're going to celebrate God coming to earth for us because we are important to Him, and He valued us and does for all time. And so, so we're going to talk today about Jesus being a servant. And His attitude and God's character in that, and a little bit of how it's really so different from the way the world is, and really, and look at that together, see if we can learn more from Him. So why don't we pray, and then we'll worship together. Lord, thank You we can gather as a family. Thank You that You called us into Your family, and You hold us close, that nothing can separate us, not our weakness, not our struggle, not our fears. Lord, that You are bigger than all of those. And I pray as we sing together that You would draw us closer to Yourself. And I thank You that You are always welcoming. Amen.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Why don't you guys stand back up? Mrs. Stanger's like, really? Do we have to? So before I have you greet each other, this is going to be a little special project. We've been going over prayer, different types of prayer every week on Sunday mornings, and today is a supplication time. So I had this idea, find someone and pray for them. But here's the thing, don't share prayer requests, okay? Just pair up with someone, and you pray for them, and they pray for you without any prayer requests, just what's on your heart. If you don't feel comfortable praying out loud, just tell them, well, I'll pray silently for my part. Okay, so pair up and pray for each other and greet each other first, obviously. Amen. Well, as people wrap up, that was great. Chris and I had a great prayer time up here. You know, we know each other, so it's easy to pray for each other, even without asking for prayer requests. We know what we need. You know, we know what each other's need. We all need the Lord in our life and walking in the Spirit and to be filled with His joy, His peace, His love. So last night we had in our body, we were gone, but we had the high school youth group talent night, right? So who won? Did anyone win? Oh, you guys don't vote on it. Okay. But it looked great. We had videos. We had magic. Someone did magic. Someone did comedy and songs and videos. And it sounds like just a great time. So, right. What's that? I don't know. Did it get recorded? Some of it. Okay. So, see Pastor Greg if you want to see some of that. So, it's good stuff. Actually, we do have a couple of the skits from the week before. So, good stuff. Coming up. There's no Awana this week, but Friday we have our special Good Friday service at 7 p.m. here, and we'll have the cross set up later today for that. And then Easter Sunday, next Sunday, a week from today. And I encourage you, it's going to be all the services are scheduled, planned already. We have Good Friday. We're going to be focusing on the seven last words of Christ, or really it's the seven last phrases or sentences of Christ, and what he said on the cross and what that means to us today. And then on Easter Sunday, Pastor Greg's going to walk through the different stages of Easter week in song and in message and in reading, and it's going to be an encouraging time. Both services really clearly show what Christ did for us and why, and his resurrection to give us new life. And so I encourage you, if there's someone that, boy, some people will come to church on Easter that won't come any other time. So if there's someone in your sphere of influence that you think, boy, I think they need to hear the gospel and would enjoy learning about Christ. You know, most people don't go to church, so consider those in your sphere of influence and invite them to Good Friday or Easter Sunday for an encouraging time this coming weekend. Other than that, enjoy. I know some of you guys are on spring break, so enjoy the time. And the ushers are going to come up as the kids leave for Sunday school.
I really appreciate people who serve in worship. I was at my wife's grandmother passed away about a week ago, and they had the service, visitation and services Friday and yesterday. And one of the things that's really big in her extended family is musical talent. A lot of the, you know, Robin plays and all my kids play. I never really did that, but we decided to, as a family, to sing a song at the funeral service, you know, as a family. And so I got drafted into that. And it's funny, even though I speak on Sunday, singing in front of people, I don't know how you guys do it. I find it so intimidating. So thank you guys who lead us in worship. It is a terrific thing to be able to sing as a family together to the God who served us. So we are continuing in these character qualities of God that we got to see when Jesus Christ was here. We're going to look at Jesus as a servant. And our hope is, as we see a little slice of these aspects of his life, that we can adopt those as patterns in our life as well. That's what we're hoping to do as we work through some of these. So we're going to look at Jesus as a servant and some of the examples of that and things he said about serving others. So what is a servant? It's a common word. It's a noun. A servant is someone who does things for others, who performs duties for other people. Where I think I hear this most commonly is in politics, and you hear someone being called a public servant. They're there to serve and to make policy and administrate things for the public, a public servant. So they're doing things to benefit the community and others around them. So just common vernacular. So I was thinking about, well, how does life work in general, us compared to God? It's not a fair comparison, or Jesus Christ. But when we start out, so let's just think about starting out in life. And now we all know that, I know you're all Christians here, and you've put your faith in God. But when you start out, you know, you start out when you're born, what do you know? You don't know much. You're born and you're little, you know, you're a little baby, and you're young, and if you need something, right, you're hungry, what do? You're really small, what do? You cry, and you get what you want, right? Now, not to be graphic, but when you're little, and you're not potty trained, and you need a diaper change, what do? You cry, right? And you get something that you need, right? Because it's a need, right? And so this is part of the pattern. And then there's a phase that comes along that mothers, I don't know, people, parents have called the terrible twos. You know what terrible twos are? It's the phase of life where babies have to learn. They're not quite babies anymore, and they're starting, and they have to learn that they can't get everything they want when just by crying, that life doesn't revolve around them, and they start that training. It doesn't always happen with when you're two. I'm sure it's not as terrible for the girls because they're more polite and the boys are more stubborn. These things we know just from life. But it's part of that. We have to learn that life doesn't revolve around us. And part of that, I'm thinking, okay, now we're comparing ourselves to Jesus Christ. Well, what did he do? Now, here is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He's the creator of everything. So just by the power of his words, he says, let there be light. And there's light. Let the earth form, and it formed. When he spoke, just by who he is, by his words, things happened. And he came down here and took on all this weakness of having all the struggle of having a body and the ability to feel pain and all this limitation. Why would he do that? Why on earth would he do that? Not if it was about him and what he, because he had a mission. He had a mission in coming down here, even to come here to the earth, even to come. It wasn't about what was easy or comfortable or even saying, I am the God of the universe. You should listen to me, which is true, but he came on a mission to seek and save. That was what was lost. So how did Jesus serve? And we're going to pray in just a minute. What did he do? He came to the earth, and even that is an act of service because a tremendously humbling thing. So what did he do? What did he do when he was here? Well, he clarified a lot of things. He served in word. He spoke a lot. He spoke quite a bit to clarify how things really worked. And he corrected a lot of people who were leading other people astray. Corrected the Pharisees quite a bit, called them, you guys are whitewashed walls. You're empty tombs. You're offering people something that has no power to change their lives. And he's the giver of life. So he served in word, and he served in deed. He served in what he did. I was looking at this in the scripture, looking at every time someone came to Christ and asked him for something, and they weren't sincere and their motives were good. If the Pharisees asked him something, he would test their motives. They said, tell us this. And he said, well, let me ask you a question. If they didn't answer the question, he would go, I'm not going to answer you either because you don't want the truth. But if someone, the leper said, if you want, you can heal me. If you want, or if you're able. And I don't see any place where someone asked him for something that was a real need and Jesus turned him away. I don't see any place that he ever did that in the scripture. So one of the things we see over and over, not just in spiritual needs, but these people are hungry. They've been with me for 3 days. I'm afraid that they'll faint. So he met real needs, and he told people to do that. And we're going to look at some of those things today. So why don't we're going to stop it for a minute and pray before I go any farther and ask God to bless our times. Why don't we pray together? God, thank you for your example, Lord. Thank you just for coming here, for stepping out of your role as the creator of everything to be here among us, to be on the earth, to be an example we could see and understand who you are. Help us to learn from you. Thank you that you are a humble servant for us. Amen. So, I'm going to start out with kind of a weird, little odd point here. So, there's a curse of modern culture. A little bit of a curse. And we grow up in this modern European culture. This is just my opinion. This is not in the scripture of how things work. So, we teach our children this, right? We go, you can do whatever you want. We tell them this. You can do whatever you want. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a lawyer, if you want to be president, if you want to be a fireman, you can do whatever you want in your life. It's up to you, right? And we do that, and we are teaching people in a way that life is really, it's your choice what you do. It's up to you. If you, what you want to do, it's really up to your preference, which in modern culture is really an amazing thing, really in the last 100 years of all the choices that we have. And so we teach people that, and that's not true in a lot of the world. It's true here in America. It's true here in Europe. It's true in a lot of countries. But I think it can kind of skew our perspective because without service, it can make us think life is just about what I want to choose. It's one of the things I think we have to fight in modern culture. Even modern technology provides a lot of conveniences that we take for granted. I was watching a little show about the American Indian, and an older Indian said, he says, you know, really, one of the things that changed Indian culture was the horse, the domestication of the horse. He says, before horses came, you had to work. Before we knew you could use horses for that, and before they were here, you had to work so hard to gather enough food and to store it to make sure your family could live. It was, and he said, all of a sudden, we had a horse. And you could go 20 miles and go kill something and bring it back, 20 miles back, easily. And then you had leisure. You had some time when you didn't have to work. And he said, that introduced the concept. And I go, wow, that's really true. We have that. We have that too, don't we? We really do have leisure. We can watch a movie. We can play a game. We can listen to music. We can watch our favorite TV show, whatever it is. We have all types of leisure. So part of the training of modern culture, modernity, is life is really, modern life is really your option to do what you want. So if God values service, those things can oppose each other. Not all the time. It's not that all those things are evil, but if you go too far down the road of life is just what you want to do now and you don't want to serve, it's against your flesh isn't going to want to serve. And I realized this. So I was at this funeral for a couple days, and my wife has a very strong connected family. Actually, one of the strongest I've seen, a tremendous example of that. And she loves, her dad passed away when she was young, so it's they all bonded together and made the farm work, so she is very connected with her family and values them, which is great. But if it was up to me, I would like to have my wife's attention focused on me all the time. Right? Listen to my dumb jokes, laugh, talk, interact. I like talking with her, right? But if it was up to me, and when we, but she wants to interact with her family, which is good. But I go, you know, it's not good for her, or it's not good for me, or for my children, or for other people, for me to do that. I have to say, well, I have to share her with other people, because that's good, and that's healthy, right? So, if God is real and God values this, this makes sense. A life of service makes sense. If God is not real, if God isn't there, I'm not sure it makes sense. If no one, from a selfish point of view, if life is just about getting what is focused on you, then maybe that's okay. But if God is real and God values eternity, we see that. And I think as we get a little older, we start to see that. So I want to look at this, at what Jesus said about service. So I think this is one of the things that we fight today that maybe even not too long ago, even 30 years ago, we didn't have to fight that, but I think we do today. We have to fight that mentality that life is about what you want and you choose. No, a good life, satisfying, joyful life is going to involve service where you lay down your life for others. that the world and your flesh will not agree with that. You will have to choose to do that. So how do we do that? What did Jesus say about that? I'm going to look at Matthew 10, 8. So Jesus is talking to the disciples there. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those that have leprosy. He did all these things. He's saying, do all these things, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So he's saying, you have freely received from me. I have given to you a new life, and I want you to give the same thing to other people. I want you to go out and help other people. Now, the disciples could have said, thank you for this new life. It's great. I must pray and relish my new life. And they must do that, but to go out and serve others and do all those things is, boy, it's work. You want me to confront demons in their lives? That's oppressive. That's oppressive. I want to stay home. I want to be home and play video games. Or whatever you want to do. I don't want to do that. If you're going to go encounter the world, it's a little messy. And that's what Jesus said. Go encounter people in the world and extend what I've given to you. So one of the things we have is struggles we have in the Christian life is to treasure what God says is valuable and not treasure what's in the world. So in Luke, Jesus talks about this. And this is un-American. We don't think this way. This is what the Lord says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. All of our stuff wears out. A treasure that is in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. It was interesting at the funeral yesterday, the funeral service. So Dorothy, my wife's grandmother, was 102 and a half. When she passed away. When we got married, she was 77 years old, you know. And she has grandkids and great-grandkids, and maybe I get confused. I forget how far it goes. I think there's four generations if you add them all up. But at that stage of life, she really valued interacting with people. She's 77. What does she want to do with her life when we got married, you know? And we've known her all those years. And it was interesting to hear people talk about her and what it was like to interact with her. She grew up on a farm and she helped a lot of people. In a time, you know, she was born in 1915, where there weren't as many services available. You relied on your neighbors, and it affected a lot of people. A lot of people spoke glowingly about that, about her grit and determination and how much her and her husband helped people. It was inspiring. It was inspiring to listen to reflect on a life. So sell your possessions and give to the poor, right? We're all going to, not to be morbid, but we're all going to face that one day. We're all going to be like Dorothy. We're all going to leave our stuff behind. And Jesus Christ is saying, don't put all your hope in that. Put your hope in things that last. Serve others, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God wants us to be wholehearted and not believe and trust in the things that are of the world. And it's a struggle. You all know that I talk about this a lot. I love things that fly, and if they're radio controlled, and I keep track of when things are on sale, you know. And I was looking on eBay, and I was watching one of these drones, you know, and it was a pretty good price. And I love things that fly, and I love getting a good deal. And I'm watching this, and I go, oh, that's a good deal. That is such a good deal. That is the best price I've ever seen this at. And it comes with some accessories, which are cool, which are I need. And I go, oh, that would be great. Oh, I already have that one of those. I already own that. I already own that. And I was praying. I go, Lord, but this is such a good deal. I already have one. It's my flesh. It lusts for more, right? And I'm going, well, it's treasure can be in the wrong place. I already have one. I want another one because my life will be better if I have more stuff. If I have that, it'll be so satisfying. It's a struggle. It's a struggle, and I'm sure you struggle with other things. But if I'm going to follow the Lord, I'm going to follow the Lord, I need to treasure what He says, because those things will be empty. They will wear out. They will not be fulfilling. The one I have is not fulfilling. I'm sure the one I buy next will be. So for the sake of time, I am going to skip this and go here. Make sure we move along. So if you're going to do this, if you're going to serve others, there are times you're going to have doubts. There are times people aren't going to appreciate what you do. I know I've struggled with this. I did that. I helped out, and it doesn't seem like they noticed. This happened to Jesus, too. He healed 10 lepers, right? He healed 10 of them from a deadly disease, and then one came back and thanked him. And Jesus said, weren't there 10? Where's the other 9? Where are the 9 people I healed from the deadly disease? So sometimes people, they move on, and they go, well, my life is great now. I'm good. How did it get great? Well, I don't remember, but I feel better. I feel much better now. There's promises, though, from God about serving others, and we need to cling to those, that God rewards the faithful. Given, it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, I like this, and poured into your lap. Poured into your lap. Running over, that God will bless you from serving others in a way that you cannot be satisfied in any other way. For the measure you used, it will be measured to you. If you focus, it's so weird. Flesh doesn't work this way. We think, oh, if I please myself, I'll be happy. If I do what I want, I'll be happy. But the difference between happiness and joy, they cross over. And you won't, if you focus on things that are pleasurable, you won't have a joyful life. Because joy is much deeper. Joy, you can be joyful in hardship, in struggle, and in pain. We were at this funeral. It is the best funeral I've ever been to. I've been to some funerals where it's just stifling. And I cannot remember a funeral that was such a joyous occasion. People are still sad. They're still struggling. But I've never been to a service where people were as happy and excited to see each other and grieve together as a family and cry a little bit. You get to talk to people with the hospice. We talk to the hospice people, and one of my relatives asked the hospice nurse. They said, "You know, what's the difference between? You notice a difference between people, and their faith is very strong in my wife's family, between all the extended family, really starting with the grandparents. But have you noticed a difference between families that have faith in Christ and those that don't?" Because that's what hospice people do, is they deal with people who are passing away. And they said, oh, yeah, we see it. It's huge all the time. Families who don't know and don't have confidence, and it's a much bigger struggle, and have doubts and don't know what's happening or coming. And there's a comfort in having that peace. So we all gathered, the director and the funeral director talked to my mother-in-law afterwards, and you know, we did music and helped carry the casket and went out to the gravesite, you know, and it was raining, and we all joked that the one thing about Dorothy is she was a very plain person. If she thought something, it came out. So we all joked. So we're standing there in the rain, you know, at the gravesite, in this muddy gravesite, and we all said, yeah, Dorothy's probably going, can't believe you guys came out and stood out in the rain for this. but at here? Oh, sorry. Sorry. So, but the thing that's the funeral director said to my mother-in-law, she said, you know, if I, and he was older, getting a little older, and he asked for help to carry stuff like, and he said, if all the funerals were like this, I'd do funerals till the day I die. He says, this was a great pleasure to be part of, which is unusual. You don't say that about a funeral. And he said, this was a great thing to see, a great thing to be part of. And I think having faith is phenomenal in the act of hardship. Well, how can that work? The measure you use will be measured unto you. If you give, good things come back. This is against our flesh. Our flesh says, if I want something, I have to take it. The kingdom of God does not work that way. And God doesn't work that way. And we see that in his life. So, does God promise anything here in this? Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped people and continue to help them. I don't know if you've helped people. Sometimes you go, well, where are the 10? Where are the 9 that I helped? But God measures faithfulness. Which is a great promise here is that God will not forget your work. So, I'm going to move along here because I've got a few more things. We're going to skip to the new life. So, in Ephesians 4:28, so people who are Christians, who weren't Christians, and then they came to Christ. And what Jesus did is he draws a line of this is how your life is supposed to be because you have a new life. Paul shared this to the church in Ephesus. He says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. So before you were doing this, you were stealing, you were taking advantage of people. He says, you're not supposed to be doing that anymore. What are you supposed to be doing? But you must work doing something useful with your own hands that you may have something to share with those in need. God expects us to help other people. It used to be that it wasn't the government. God expected people to help their neighbors and their friends and their community. There's a friend of mine who lives in town, and he shared this with me. He says he's on this committee, and we're working together. And he said, you know, I got convicted. He says, one of the things I've been thinking about is my street a better street because I live there? And I go, wow, that's interesting. And so he's trying to say, what can he do to help his community and help his town? So serving others, what can we do to serve others practically? What did he tell us to do? What's in the scripture? One of the things I thought of is in church community, we carry each other's burdens. We help each other. We be connected to each other. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. We weren't designed to be separated and isolated. I think one of the downsides of all this technology is we connect so easily to the technology, but relationships are harder, but relationships are better. They're better connections. They're better connections. And so we are supposed to come alongside each other and help each other and encourage each other and reprove each other and correct each other and help each other think right. So one of the things you can do in serving others is bearing each other's burdens. There was a guy who lives down by my mother-in-law who his mom passed away last year, and he drives semis for a living. We were down there, and he's running grain back and forth. He says, "Hey, I'll go with you because I get bored down there." And so me and my son were driving in the semi, which is kind of fun. And I'm just talking with him, you know, and I don't know him real well, but he's a nice, easy guy to talk to. And I just asked him about his mom, because I know it's hard to lose your mom. And I just looked him in the eyes and said, I'm sorry for losing your mom. I'm sorry about that. And he looked at me and says, thank you. And I saw him yesterday, and I connected with him, and I said, it's good to see you. He says, it's good to see you too. And because he knows that I understand some of that hardship of losing someone you care about. And so it's just good to see each other and help each other in that. And loss is hard to deal with on your own. We weren't designed to carry all those things by ourselves. So who do we please? Who do we please? Who are we here to please? And this is the difference in the Christian life. If you're going to live a Christian life, you're not here to please yourself. You're on a mission to make God known through your example. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So you maybe have things that you're good at, things that are easy for you, things that you can strive out and do. And maybe you're stronger than other people in certain things. And you can take that, you know, maybe you don't need as much sleep, right? So you have a choice. What do you do with your time? Well, if I only need 6 hours of sleep, I can do all these things with my time. God says, don't use the things you're strong in. Don't use that for yourself. So use that to help others. So we need to not get lost in all the options and need to be able to say no so that we engage and serve other people. And this is kind of un-American that life isn't just about you and what you want. Life is because God cares about people, and he's going to send you. Just like he sent Moses. He said, I want you. He says, I'm coming down to rescue them, and I'm sending you. I'm sending you to serve others. So, honest, hard truth about how the Christian life works. Honest, hard truth. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. So we are supposed to love other people. If you look at the life of Christ, what did he do? He spoke, he talked, he met real needs. When people came to him who weren't trying to take, there are people who are trying to take advantage of him. There are people who are trying to trap them, and he dealt with them accordingly, right? But people who were sincere and seeking the truth, he accommodated them, and he went out to them. He went out to where they were. Love each other, and same chapter. Greater love has no one than this. What is love? Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. That's what the Christian life is, to lay down our lives. Easy to say, hard to do. So, final thoughts here. Final thoughts about what we can do. I go, okay, what can we do about serving others? We see the pattern in Christ's life. And I just think there's some things we can recognize as a congregation is that God notices what you do. Look at that. Look at those promises. That God notices what you do all the time. And he measures them and he counts them and the things that are hard, he comforts them. We saw that yesterday, that people spoke about these little things. And it's funny, I don't think some of the things that Dorothy did in her life, she was thinking, oh, I'll say this and it'll change this person's life. But it did. For they remembered, when they remembered her life, they go, wow, she said, it was really hard for me and she said this. And it changed my life. So God notices what you do, and he will use those things for things you could never expect. You can't anticipate. So we need to be consistently serving that he has opportunities to use things. So one of the things I find very encouraging is faithfulness is more important to God than gifting and talent or good looks. And that is more important to God. I know in the world we look at people who are flashy or who are noticeable or who are, I was thinking of Jeff Bezos is the head guy at Amazon. I don't know if president or whatever, but he said about a month ago, he said, you know, Amazon is taking over the world in certain things. And he just said, we are going to start our own delivery service. As soon as he said that, now Federal Express has a delivery service. They deliver things all over the world, right? Federal Express stock, as soon as he said that, went down 10%. As soon as we're going to do this, boom, the stock dropped. Everyone, oh my gosh, he's going to do this. He hasn't done anything yet. Hasn't done a thing, but it went down 10. I go, wow, that's amazing. He's a person of influence. Everyone looks to him. The kingdom of God does not work that way. You don't have to be a person. It's a great equalizer where you are, that God uses faith, consistent faithfulness, that people can see a difference. And I find that so encouraging. I don't have to be Jeff Bezos. I don't have to be famous. I don't have to be I don't have to be well-renowned. I don't have to be well-schooled. I can be who I am, and if I'm faithful, God will use it. And then strive to serve more consistently. And think about, hey, what can I do to serve others? What can I do that would make a difference? And so, and pray about how to do that. And it's, that is going to be unique to your life. One of the opportunities we've had in my home is it's just because of the connections we have, is if people want to come to town, we offer our home. Can we come to Chicago and hang out or come visit? And I go, sure, come visit. You can stay with us. And so my wife and I, we do that pretty consistently. And we've had a lot of people come stay with us. It's really enjoyable. It's been a blessing to us. It is a little work. You know, we got to clean up and feed and all that stuff. But we meet people at these conferences. I meet people and they go, hey, how are you, Dean? It's good to see you. And I'm going, yeah, good to see you too. And I stayed with you, and oh yeah, good, yeah, that's right. But we've had some people stay with us, but it's a blessing that we can offer something that we have, and you will have something different that's unique to your life. How do you offer that? And God will use it long term. You can only offer what you have. And think about, what can you offer to someone that'll make a difference? So why don't we pray, and we'll have the music team come up. God, thank you that you give us good things. Help us not to believe they need to be different than they are. And if we offer what we have and love to other people, that you can use it. I pray that you bless us today to move forward in faith. Amen.